The epistle to be read today for the 17th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4. Brethren, I therefore, a prisoner in the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation in which you are called, with all humility and mildness, with patience, supporting one another in charity, careful to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 22. At that time, the Pharisees came to Jesus, and one of them, a doctor of the law, asked him, tempting him, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and with thy whole soul and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like to this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments dependeth the whole law and the prophets." And the Pharisees being gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think you of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say to him, "David's." He saith to them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool.' If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Brethren, I, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation in which you are called, with all humility and mildness, with patience, supporting one another in charity. Words taken from today's epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, this morning I would like to tell you the story of two great saints. The saints are Cosmas and Damian, whose feast day is today. Saints Cosmas and Damian were brothers. They were born in Arabia in the latter part of the 3rd century. They both came to Syria and there studied medicine. The famous biographer of saints, Father Alban Butler, writes of them, "They became eminent for their skill in the practice of medicine. They converted to Christianity and were baptized soon after. As Father Butler writes, being Christians and full of charity, in which the spirit of our divine religion consists, they practiced their profession with the greatest care and wonderful success. But they never accepted any payment or collected any fee." Now, it was in February of the year 303 AD that another bloody persecution of the church broke out. The persecution was decreed by the Roman Emperor Diocletian. Diocletian had firmly resolved to stamp out Christianity once and for all, and to accomplish what his predecessors for the last 200 years or so had failed to do. Among the first Christians to be arrested were Saints Cosmas and Damian. As Father Butler put it, when the persecution of Diocletian began to rage, it was impossible for persons of so distinguished a character to lie concealed. They were arrested by order of Lysias, the Roman prefect of Cilicia. And both saints fearlessly professed their belief in Christ, and their rejection of paganism. In fact, they not only professed their faith, but boldly declared for the benefit of their fellow Christian captives, as well as their captors, that the Christian faith was necessary for eternal salvation, and in it alone could one be saved. Lysias, the prefect, commanded that they adore at once the gods of the empire. To his impious command, the brothers steadfastly refused. "Bind their hands and feet," Lysias ordered. "Subject them to the most excruciating tortures." His commands were carried out. The brothers were first tied to crosses upon which they hung in torment for some time. They were taken down, bound hand and feet, brought to a high cliff overlooking the Aegean Sea. They were ordered again to deny their faith, but both remained steadfast. Each in turn was then picked up by two men and then flung off the cliff into the depths of the sea, bound hand and feet. But to the great surprise of all, their bonds became loose, and they safely swam to shore. The next day, the two brothers were brought forth and tied to a stake. A fire was enkindled about them. But as the flames grew with each passing moment, as the heat became more intense and the smoke thick, all noticed that both the flames and the smoke receded from the saints. The prefect resorted then to all kinds of tortures, scourging them, stoning them, and even shooting arrows into their bodies. But all was to no avail. The brothers would not die. At length, he ordered the saints to be beheaded. "Confessing Christ to the end," writes a certain author, "Cosmas and Damian won the palm of martyrdom." Today, you can venerate the relics of these great saints in the Basilica of Saints Cosmas and Damian in Rome. Their feast is celebrated each year on September the 27th. But so celebrated are these blessed martyrs in the Latin Church that from ancient times, in every holy mass, they are commemorated during the third prayer of the canon. Now, today's epistle, my dear friends, is taken, as I said, from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. The Ephesians were people from the city of Ephesus, which is in what is now modern-day Turkey. It is still there today, this city. It is, of course, under a different name. But in the city of Ephesus, there are still Christian churches from ancient times. In fact, it was to the city of Ephesus that St. John the Apostle brought the Most Blessed Virgin Mary around the year 42 AD. And there she lived for almost 7 years, until she told the apostle to bring her back to Jerusalem, since she knew she was going to die. But before she would die, she would see one last time the places made holy by her son's presence, and she would die in the city of Jerusalem where he died. But St. Paul later came to Ephesus and preached the gospel there as well. He wrote this epistle to the Ephesians, however, in the year 63 while he was a prisoner in Rome. And thus does he refer to himself as a prisoner of the Lord. But the purpose of the epistle, among other things, was to remind the Ephesians of their dignity as Christians and members of the one true church. Brethren, St. Paul wrote, I, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation in which you are called. What is this vocation St. Paul is writing about? Vocation coming from the Latin word vocare, which means to call. What is this vocation he writes about? It is a vocation that the Ephesians were called to become Christians and members of the church. A Christian, my dear people, is very simply a follower of Christ. But by that I mean this. A Christian is one who believes all that Christ has revealed. A Christian is one who obeys all that Christ has commanded. A Christian is one who is a member of Christ's church, which is the Catholic Church. Our Lord Jesus Christ founded one church, and that church is the Catholic Church. Only the Catholic Church can trace its origin back to the apostles and thus back to Christ. No other church bearing the name Christian, and there are many out there that have Christian on their signs, but no other church having the name Christian can do this, can trace its origin back to the apostles, back to Christ. They are thus man-made churches, and therefore they are false churches. As Saints Cosmas and Damian once proclaimed to the pagans of old that only in the Christian faith is their salvation, so we proclaim today that only in the Catholic Church is their salvation. But after reminding them of their dignity as Christians, the apostle then instructed the Ephesians on how to worthily live a Christian life, how to live their exalted, sublime vocation of being Christians. Among other things, he wrote, with all humility and mildness, with patience, supporting one another in charity. My dear friends, the church would remind us too of our dignity of being Christians and thus followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, members of his church, the Catholic Church. Even as she would instruct us in the words of the apostle on what we must do to worthily live Christian lives. How then our daily lives ought to be characterized by humility, that is, a humble obedience to God's commandments and to the just laws of our nation. How our daily lives ought to be characterized by mildness or meekness, that is, bearing insults offenses and abusive remarks from others with calmness, even as we act against feelings and thoughts of anger should they arise within. And how our lives, according to St. Paul, ought to be characterized by patience. That is, calmly enduring difficult situations and inconveniences and suffering silently the bodily pains and sicknesses of life. There is no one here who does not have some difficulty, some inconvenience, some that come and go with each passing day, but all of us are tried in one way or another. And we are tried, my dear friends, because we must conform our Christian lives to Christ, who is the head of the church. Christ, who took up his cross and was crucified upon it on Calvary. We too must take up our cross, our daily sufferings, our sicknesses and inconveniences, and we must follow Christ at Calvary and bear our pains and sufferings in union with him and for him. And finally, how our daily lives ought to be characterized by charity. Charity, which is loving God above all things, loving him more than anyone or anything in this world, and loving others for his sake. These four virtues, among others, characterize the lives of Saints Cosmas and Damian. You know, all biographers and historians record that the saintly brothers were both physicians and both were outstanding in their practice of charity, especially towards the poorer people, for they never exacted a fee from them. They lived among their fellow Christians, in other words, and in this and many other ways, they did, as St. Paul tells us today, supported one another in charity. We, my dear friends, must do the same. We must support each other in charity. How especially ought husbands and wives support each other in charity? How brothers and sisters ought support each other in charity? And how anyone who bears the name Christian support one another in the charity of Christ? Saints Cosmas and Damian were selfless in their practice of charity. And you know, my dear people, true charity is always selfless. In other words, when one truly practices charity, there is never any thought of self or some kind of personal gain or some selfish interest at stake. But rather, it is always about some kindness, some consideration, or some favor to be done to another for the sake of God. Such as coming to the aid of another, providing some material assistance, or generously helping others who ask for our help, whether it's in big ways or little ways. Or true charity is selfless when we simply pray for others. We happily pray for another or for their intentions. Or true charity can be refraining critical thoughts about others. A selfless charity is manifested by not being bitter or quarrelsome towards others, not being judgmental about others, but rather always looking for some excuse to offer, and even forgiving others, never holding grudges towards anyone. A selfless and true charity is characterized by patience, kindness, and cheerfulness towards others in thought, word, and deed. When we strive to do these things for the love of God, my dear friends, we are practicing charity. And thus we are fulfilling the divine commandment that Christ gave us in today's gospel. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.